Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Danny Cannell, back to throw, first and 10, the pass is deep, tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done three fingers, 22 for Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man, he can't guard me.
What is going on? Good Monday morning. Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Rajah Bell. What a fantastic weekend opener for the NCAA tournament. March Madness was in full force. Hannah was in New York City. Debo was at spring break on Fort Lauderdale Beach. It was nuts. I do notice Rajah's dragging a little bit. So, Debo, give me something to lift him up a little bit. Feel that. Feel that a little bit.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Wait, hold up. Where's the Syracuse sound?
Nobody knows that sound. Nobody would
recognize
that.
Is there a sound? Does Syracuse have a sound?
There's not. There's if there not. Was, I went there and I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, it was a big weekend for Hannah and I's alma maters. It was a fun weekend. But those weren't the biggest storylines. So let's get to some March Madness talk. We're going to do a little bit NBA later on. Some golf talk as Tiger Woods was back. But let's do some
what we learned
for March Madness. All right. The biggest story of the weekend, sadly, wasn't my Florida State Seminoles. It was UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore County, who I did not even know what UMBC stood for.
Remember when we were making our brackets, yes. We were like, who knows what that is?
Who knows is this team?
The Retrievers.
But should we know that it was easy to say now, but should we have seen this coming from the Cavaliers?
I mean, you should have seen them not playing like a number one seed through the whole tournament. Like, we talked about that. You know, I talked about, you know, their offense is better, but anybody who struggles to score the ball like that is going to face a team in the tournament that is hot, and it's going to be a short run, but not losing to a 16 seed. They beat UMBC, 98 out of 100 times. That one and done format, it's why it's must see TV, because anything can happen. You face the wrong team on the wrong night, you're cold, they're hot, and you got problems. And look, I told you, I love Tony Bennett. I think Tony Bennett is a great coach. I think his dad was a great coach. They have to figure out, and maybe it's got something to do with the academic criteria that it requires to get into Virginia, but offensively, they don't have the type of teams offensively that they need, athletically, that they need to be an over-the-hump championship team, in my opinion. They can always be good. He always gets them to buy in and gets the most out of that talent, but they don't seem to have the higher-end type of talent that you need to be effective offensively.
It almost feels like they're playing the wrong type of basketball for this era. Like, well, maybe 20 years ago, it might have worked, but now with everybody shooting threes and it's neutralized the game.
It'll get you a bunch of wins and in a watered-down like NCAA, you could wind up being the number one team in the country because you just lock down and you defend. But ultimately, you're right. You're not going to skate through a tournament with 64 teams if you can't score points.
It was nuts. I don't think anybody saw this coming, but I think the thing that might have been most shocking, and I thought it took away from it a little bit, was that it was a blowout. Like, it wasn't even close. I would have preferred, like, everybody's asking where you were when it happened. I was on a plane, by the way. I didn't even get to see it. But I would have preferred a buzzer beater. Like, that would have been even more compelling of a story for me. But it still shouldn't take away anything from these dudes. Me too. Like,
always.
It's more fun. It's exciting. But it shouldn't take away anything from the players from UMBC. Here they are talking about the game afterwards.
The UMBC team is very big on Fortnite.
Honestly, are there words for this?
I mean, I'm trying to put it into words, but I think video is better. That's why I'm vlogging.
It's like your first Fortnite victory.
Yeah, it's like your first Fortnite victory, honestly.
I don't know what your first Fortnite victory feels like. I've never
you
won.
Haven't done it yet?
No, but I loved it. That's what that moment should be for you. It should be whatever you want it to be. You should be enjoying it, having fun. And I thought it was great. I mean, it sucked for those kids in Virginia, but UMBC deserved it. They came out and whooped them.
So their run came to an end versus Kansas State last night. They were everybody's darling team. And you want to see the Cinderella story continue, but these guys will be remembered for this forever. Like, I don't even know if we'll remember as much who wins the tournament this year as much as we'll remember UMBC for knocking off that 16-1, which had never happened before. It was 135-0, those matchups, and now they're the first ones to do it. They will always be remembered for that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. There were some other crazy games. What about Michigan versus Houston? A crazy finish in this one.
Deep three in front of us for the win.
Oh!
You can hear the sheer elation right there in the voice. Freshman Jordan Poole hit the big buzzer beater at the end. There was a great tweet. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Jordan Peele from Key and Peele just won an Oscar. And apparently people were hitting him up all across Twitter, congratulating him on the jumper that won the tournament. So he tweeted out, he said, I just want everybody to know it's like all the hard work I put in on my jump shot, so thanks. And then the best part of it, Jordan Poole saw it and like tweeted at him. It was a pretty cool moment, a little mix up on Twitter, but it was fantastic. So the big topic from most analysts after the game was Houston not defending the inbounds pass, instead electing the double when as soon as he got to half court. Did you have a problem with the way Houston guarded that?
You know what I try to stay away from is telling coaches what they should do philosophically. What you believe in has gotten you this far. And if you don't put a man on the inbound ball, I could see why you wouldn't. It gives you 5 versus 4. You know they have to throw it long. But you do run the risk of allowing a straight line pass instead of something that goes in the air. So, like, again, I would have probably put somebody on the ball to make him have to throw it with a different trajectory. I don't want that straight line drive to half court advance pass with no time off the clock, and now we're in a scorable position. But I'm not going to second guess the guy because that's what he believes in. Like, when you're a coach, you and your staff have to have a philosophy. Any sport. And you've got to stick with that philosophy. You can't be wavering in times of, like, in critical situations. You have to go with your guns. It's the foul versus not foul. When you're up 3 and a team's got the ball. Like,
which Syracuse did.
Right. I mean, some people believe in the foul, give them 2 free throws, and we'll play the free throw shooting game. Other teams hang their hat on playing defense and rebounding. And so, like, you're playing the result a little bit. That was I don't know what the percentage chance of him making that shot with 3.6. It was an incredible shot, like, great for the freshman kid at Michigan, heartbreaker for Houston, but I'm not going to second guess the coach.
This is the one thing I hate, and I think it's what makes players and coaches hate the media, is when we do this.
Right.
Because it happens all the time. I am with you, and I think athletes handle this better than people in the media because they want to be the experts. They want to nail things down. But you know what? Sometimes the other team makes a play.
Here's
what that's correct. What that was.
Absolutely right. And I am a member of the media now, but this was always a thing for me. You're not an effing expert. If you're an expert, you'd be out there doing it.
Right.
You'd be either coaching or you'd be playing. And you ain't doing either one. So you ain't that much of a damn expert.
What about the players that were on the set? Because there were some former players that are on there criticizing it. I just feel over the top criticism.
It is, but again, you're playing the result, and their philosophy may be of the other, you know,
right.
they may run it the other way or do
right.
the other, and that's fine. But I mean, that he's in a position,
totally
he's where he
result.
Is.
Like,
for, yeah, that's
I thought
the
they,
definition
I thought
of playing
they
the result.
Defended it outstanding. Like, they had a hand in his face, dude. And they doubled the pass as soon as it got. They set up the trap, so like that wasn't an easy pass to get it over to Peele.
That was
and
a then, lucky shot.
Yeah, he
that,
hit
I mean,
a prayer.
He is. It's a prayer. He's a good player.
Right.
Probably a great 3-point shooter. That was not a good 3-point look. He shot it legs wide open, falling down. It was a lucky shot. Good for him.
Yes, it was. All right, let's move on next.
What we learned.
All right, we learned that no lead is safe because Nevada was trailing by 22 points against Cincinnati.
That's insane.
It was insane. The game was over. I was starting to flip it around, watching other stuff. Here was Nevada's head coach, Eric Musselman, talking about it.
Just a lot of heart, a lot of determination, no quit. Some halftime adjustments of trapping and trying to speed them up. Nothing feels better than this. Nothing. Sweet 16.
Eric Musselman has been
fantastic.
One of the viral sensations of the tournament because he was also caught in the locker room after their other win, dropping a few F-bombs. It was insane. I love listening to the coaches when they lose their voice because you just know they've been yelling their lungs out the entire game. They were down by 22 with 11 minutes to go. Josh Howell converted the offensive rebound for the go-ahead bucket with 9.1 seconds remaining. They didn't have a lead in the game until that late. I always think, and this, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, I think it's easier to play from behind because you just go out there and it's like, what do we got to lose now? We're down 22. Let's just start firing away and let's start making plays. And conversely, for the other team, they start getting a little bit nervous. They start squeezing a little bit tired. Like, uh-oh, we're not going to blow this,
right,
are we?
They have the pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You start – I think you're correct. You start playing not to lose rather than playing to win. And sometimes you can't diagnose that in the moment. When you're that team or that coach, you get just a little bit more conservative. You dial it back. And before you know it, there's this level of momentum built up on the other side that you can no longer control. Like, destiny isn't in your own hands anymore. And so I didn't see that game, admittedly, because I was in the gym coaching. That's why my voice sounds like this. Different level, but still, I was yelling. But that's what that sounded like to me. Eric Musselman, I love the fact that, you know, he's coached. He's like a lifelong coach. He's been in the NBA, and he's out there yelling, Sweet 16, nothing gets better than this. Like, I think it's fantastic. It shows the passion that he has for the game. But what I imagine happened in that game is just what you spoke to. Like, Nevada says, what do we have to lose? And Cincy says, oh, my God, we've got this much to lose. Let's tighten it down. Let's start getting conservative. Let's stop doing exactly what we were doing in the first place to get us here. And you're walking a fine line. You're just praying that that clock runs out. That's a real scary situation to be in.
To me, it says more about Cincinnati not being a great team. They're a good team, but great teams close out games. They're up 22. They win by 32.
Yeah, that's not a great team.
You just keep
going for it. And that brings, you know, a bigger question, I guess. I don't know that there are any great teams out there this year. I don't – You know, I honestly, like, Duke is nice. Villanova, I think, is the class of the
Hold on,
of
we're gonna get
basketball.
To them. We're gonna get to them, but yeah. There might be one. Oh, there might
How
be one.
Are you gonna play this?
We might just have this on loop. We should just put it under the bed like the entire show.
You have to qualify
just to play it the whole
They're
time.
They're a great Florida State right, team because they didn't get knocked out in the first round.
I actually like FSU, but I hate that sound so much.
Oh, come on.
When you go to a game, they play it at least 30 times.
All right, so Florida State did pull off one of the upsets. They put off they upended Xavier. Rough night for Cincinnati.
The Queen
rough night for Cincinnati. They actually came out of a 16-4 run to finish the game. I thought they blew it. Like, I thought Florida State was playing trash, like trash, like just wild, kind of out of control. But they came back, hit some big buckets. They had some dudes on the boards. The thing that was fascinating to me is they didn't do it with three-pointers. Like, they did it kind of the old-school hard way, just hustling, getting offensive rebounds. Now they have Gonzaga in the next round, which, again, they'll be underdogs in. But this is the year, to your point, which I was just talking about, it does feel like it's anybody's ballgame right now. I do think there are some teams that are separating themselves somewhat. But I do feel like Florida State has a chance. Like, why not? Why not us? And that's what they tweeted out.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, why not use? Because Gonzaga's going to beat you in the next round. But I mean, I understand the sentiment. Like, I get it. Like, you could, anyone could win. And you're right. Like, the field's pretty wide open. But Leonard Hamilton, I've known him since I was like 13. He used to coach at Miami.
Yeah.
And my dad was over there. And so I grew up in the gym with all of his teams. What he typically does, him and Stan Jones, is they get, especially since they've been to Florida State, they go with the athlete. They go with the long, rangy, tough, physical, kind of like Bama does, mm-hmm. where no matter what, when push comes to shove, you're not going to be overmatched athletically. And I think when I'm watching that game last night and I'm watching the last part of it, that spoke to me a little bit against Xavier. They just looked like they were outsized, out-athlete.
Yeah,
And
especially on the glass.
Yeah, they just got beat up pretty good. And so, look, that, again, the same thing with Bama, and I think it reared its head. If you're not going to be able to shoot that ball, and you face a good enough team who'll pack that paint and they match up size-wise with you, it could be a challenge in a one-game scenario. So that would be my only thing against Florida State, because Gonzaga's big. Gonzaga's big, too. They may not have the athletes across the board, but they're big.
It's funny how the brackets worked out, because two of them, the East and the Midwest, have everything's almost chalk is almost playing out. The ones and twos are playing out. But in the South and the West, which Florida State is in the West, Xavier and North Carolina both out. I am so hoping for a Florida State versus Texas A&M matchup in the Elite Eight because of Jimbo going to Texas A&M.
Oh, that's
like,
great.
It would be fantastic.
Oh, so
like,
right.
Oh my gosh, there'd be so
that
much
be
trash
incredible.
Being talked. All right, let's move on to
what we learned
about who's been the most impressive team so far. Like, we're still trying to figure out who's separated themselves. I think it comes down to two. I think it's Villanova or Duke. Take your pick.
I'll take Villanova because they were my team. And in terms of impressive, they're just doing what I thought they would do. But the most impressive team to me so far has been Loyola Chicago. Like, they've
really?
Yeah. They've just because I was told by a friend of mine how good they were, and he gave me some background and some stuff I didn't know about them from earlier in the season. And yeah, they've won by buzzer beaters, but that's almost as hard to do that in back-to-back games and fight and claw and scrap and figure out a way to win it as it is to, like, blow out Virginia if you're the number 16 seed. I mean, you have to be a solid basketball team. You're not a fluke team that just got hot. You're a solid basketball team when you're in this tournament, you know, going toe-to-toe with some of these these heavyweight programs and you're figuring out ways to win down the stretch. Like, that speaks to your kids' resolve. It speaks to the coaching. And so they're battle tested. That's been the best story, but the best team, it's Villanova in my opinion.
Yeah, Vegas agrees with you. Villanova is the best odds, plus 360, Duke at plus 400. But now that you're talking about it, like, I'm always looking for value. Loyola is a 100-1 long shot to win it all.
Ooh.
Now I'm thinking about taking a flyer. Now
that I got what were they, though, a week ago?
Probably
with 300.
Right, even better. All right, let's move on. Next.
What we learned.
So we might have hit on this just a second ago, but who's the top Cinderella team? Do you like Loyola the most?
I do, and I think they could. I like Loyola the most. I think they could get through Nevada.
What about Hannah's team? Give Syracuse.
Does Syracuse count as a Cinderella team? I don't think so.
Why not? I don't know. Garbage all year.
Because they have been garbage this year, I will say that, but like, they've never been a garbage team
and they
in
all,
general.
Hey, listen.
Them and Loyola are the lowest seeds at 11.
But when you. Jim Boeheim is like as good a coach as there is. Like
he's
the
GOAT.
Yeah, he's awesome. Whenever you take the formula that he has, where they're long. Someone told me they're the biggest team in college basketball, but their guards, he typically plays guards that are 6'5", 6'6", both of his guards. And whether they underachieve or whatever in the regular season, he's always got a couple pros on his team. He just does. They put out pros at Syracuse. And when you get that type of length, that right combination of skill, and then you're going to sit there with all of that length in a big old long zone, it's really, really hard to play against. Zones with length all over the place, and you can't see over them. You really never have a real clean shot, so you start forcing a couple shots because you get antsy and you just got to get something up to the rim. It throws your whole rhythm off, and they do it every year in the tournament. Like, even when they're bad and people don't think they should be
they wind
up in the Sweet 16. Like, they, so for me, not a Cinderella, but pretty cool story. You actually called it.
Yeah.
And we gave you all kind of.
Yeah, but she called the Bills in the playoffs, too. Yeah. Let's not go too far.
Wait,
Hannah likes to play those homer picks.
No, I have this exact move, like Syracuse and Duke playing in the Sweet 16 on my bracket.
See?
So I just want to give myself a round of applause. I have a random question, though. So, like, these teams have been playing like every couple of days, right? Now they have to wait until Friday. Like, what does that do to a team like Syracuse who has this, like, they're not supposed to be in there, but they're in there. Like mentally, what do these guys do from now until Friday?
I think they're living on cloud nine. Like, yeah.
How do you not get sidetracked, or how do you not get like
routine?
Right?
Like, you go routine, right? I mean, they'll do what they've always done all year. They'll go back. They'll go to class. They'll go to practice. Like,
is school back in, or are some of these schools on spring break? I mean, some of that's got something to do with it.
That's true.
But no matter what, like, Syracuse isn't going to Fort Lauderdale Beach. Like, they're going to go back.
Syracuse doesn't go to classes anyway, right?
Come on.
Oh.
No, all of they're back in the lab. Like, this is time to nail down. Now, it's unique because you typically, like, you don't get a whole lot of time to prep for your first round opponent, and
right.
you don't get a whole lot of time to prep for your second round opponent because that's like 2 days later. They're going to have a week essentially to prep for Duke. And
I just wonder if the prep helps or hurts you, like coming off of, like, yeah. what if you have that momentum going?
I think it helps because you played a lot of basketball. Like, they went through an ACC tournament. What was it? Are they in the ACC now?
Yeah.
Jesus. They go to an ACC tournament. They've been through two rounds. Like, there's been a lot of travel.
Three games because they won that
play. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then with all the travel factored in, I think they could use a little time. This is Syracuse specific, but I think all the teams, they're not pros. Like, they're not conditioned to put this on display night after night after night. So getting them regrouped, getting them back home into a routine is going
to
be good.
This is the best time of year for coaches because normally I think it's hard to get guys to practice. Like, in the drudgery of regular season, guys don't want to go. Now everybody wants to be there. Like, you're excited. Everybody has a little bit more like energy. There's a positivity about it. This is the best time to be around. And to Syracuse playing the 2-3 zone the way they do, I think they have the combination that Virginia wishes they had. Like, they play really good defensively, but they also have the athletes to get it done.
They have
the
pros.
Side.
Yeah, they got a couple pros. Right?
Who do you guys think is winning that one?
With Syracuse?
Wednesday.
This is Coach K versus Boeheim. That's a big deal.
Yeah, listen.
I think Duke's really good.
I know. I have Duke winning it all after this.
Although,
Duke beat Syracuse this year.
Don't be surprised.
I don't want to be that guy.
Don't be surprised.
I don't want to be that guy.
But y'all, if Syracuse beats
Duke, for Wednesday.
I'm not coming to work.
No, I've made a lot of money this weekend. Because I love playing the underdogs. Like, that's what I like to play.
So and you're rooting for Syracuse. Crushed it.
Yeah, I always root for the underdogs.
If Syracuse beats Duke, I'm not coming to work all next week.
You can do like Debo. You can go travel up when the Eagles are winning. He was going back and forth. All right, so no doubt we have a ton to look forward to. We're going to preview the Sweet 16 on Wednesday's show. But this is the thing that was fascinating to me. Were you guys watching the basketball? And it was, what game was trash that was going back and forth that was at the same time as the golf was going on? Was it
UNC, Texas A&M.
That game was trash.
That was finishing.
Yeah, yeah. That game was awful. But a lot of people watching golf, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I think I spit it out.
Yes.
Because our boy Tiger was back and he made an early run. He went out, shot 33 on the front, started getting it going, and then just a few missed opportunities. And he came up short. But I'm glad he came up short.
Yeah.
I'm still on track for the Masters.
He looked good.
He looked great.
He looked good.
Here he is. Here's Tiger.
And to be in contention, if you would ask me, you know, the beginning of the year, that I would have had a chance to win two golf tournaments. I would have taken that in a heartbeat. If I can play with no pain and I can feel like I can make golf swings, I'll figure it out. And I'm starting to piece it together tournament by tournament, and each tournament's gotten a little bit crisper and a little bit better.
Talk to him, Hannah. Yeah, go ahead. Talk to him, Hannah. Go ahead.
I've been laughing this whole time at Tiger's voice.
It does sound. That was a different tone
that
in his
tone,
voice
yes.
that time.
It sounded like yes. extra. Like
extra.
That was like too funny to me. I'm sorry.
It did. No, it did sound a little. But I think you're seeing in this comeback, whatever you want to call it. I think some people say he hasn't come back because he hasn't won. I say that's garbage. I think he clearly is back.
Yeah.
But you saw him coming off the 18th green, like smiling at the crowd.
Yeah.
Like waving to the crowd. Previous Tiger would have been pissed off.
Livid.
That he didn't win the tournament, that he hit his driver out of bounds. Like, he would have been livid. But I think it is interesting. Like, I wonder if this new Tiger can still get it done at a major and still win. I think he can. I kind of like his perspective now. I think the game is still there, most importantly, on that one. But it's going to not come without some challenges because you have a slew of young guys and Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler,
bro,
Jason Day.
Justin Thomas
but
up there
also,
all the time, bro. I'm trying to make up to this man on Twitter. Cut it out.
But
Justin, do you hear him?
You also have another guy who had a pretty impressive comeback on his own in Rory McIlroy because he came roaring down the stretch and he tweeted out, which I thought was a little bit of a, hey, I'm over here too. He said something about the number of days. I think it's been 563 days since he has won. And he sent out a tweet. It's like, hey, it's been a long time, but it feels good to be back. He's a guy that Tiger's going to have to reckon with, too, now.
Well,
I think he's playing with his confidence back.
As a golf fan, I think it's great that Rory's playing great and Tiger's playing great. And, you know, you've got Justin Thomas's. And how did Justin finish up yesterday, Rose?
I don't know. His pre-shot routine is painful, though.
It is painful. But
he's like, he got all dorky and, like, goes in there and, like, takes the first swing. I don't know. I'm a golf nut.
But, like, for golf, I think we're in a good place, especially going into the Masters. As a Tiger fan, everything was great. Everything was great. I wanted him to lose, close, be in the hunt, until Rory went ham. Because when Rory's hot, Tiger doesn't have the firepower to contend with Rory when he's really, really hot at this point, in my opinion.
Yep.
Like when he's on his A game, like he did for stretches, you know, when Tiger was absent and stuff like that. But Augusta's Augusta, baby. Like let's
exactly. Nice
to see what happens. Are we going is the question, Danny.
Seriously, let's get the show on the road. Debo, pull some strings, man. Let's go.
Kieran Portley.
Look at me.
Kieran Portley.
Yeah. Call him out.
Let's
That's
go.
Right. That's
that
our boss.
That works so well with your, like,
Kieran
extra rasp this
We've called out a bunch of things yet. We haven't done any of them. We had the Super Bowl, the NBA All-Star Game. This is the third time.
Yo,
the third time.
Syracuse is going. I don't
know.
No,
Florida State and Syracuse. We
can
both
imagine?
Be going. Then we're definitely going.
I would be so rattled.
We may not be there, but you know where we can watch it all? Right here at CBS Sports HQ. Because that is the best new way to get the latest scores, news, and highlights. For the Noles Sweet 16 run, everything you want to see, CBS Sports HQ. It's a brand new 24/7 streaming sports information channel that's always on, and it's completely free. That's the best part about it. You can stream it anytime on the CBS Sports app for Apple TV, Roku, your phone, and other connected devices. Or, as always, just turn on your computer, flip it online, and watch at CBSSportsHQ.com.
Here's what's happening with Hannah.
The Six dealt just their sixth home loss of the season on Sunday as the Thunder also end the Raptors' 11-game winning streak. Russell Westbrook pours in 37 points to go along with 13 rebounds and 14 assists to pad OKC's two-game lead for the four seed in the West. DeMar DeRozan, Serge Ibaka, and Coach Dwayne Casey were all ejected in the game's final minute for Toronto after complaining to refs about missed calls. Roger, what do you think of
this
that one?
This game was right up Roger's alley.
I know.
I'm bored with the NBA right now.
Ooh.
I am. I mean, the college basketball's on the scene.
That's true.
Golf is on the scene. And the NBA is in this weird place where when I was a player, I'm conditioned to be like this. Most NBA dudes are. Like, you're conditioned at this point because the season's been so long. Even when you're not playing, you probably experience this with like football on like a Thursday. Do you guys travel Thursday or Friday?
Friday. No, for a Sunday game?
Yeah.
Saturday.
Saturday. But you start like Saturday when you don't play, like on Saturdays, you start to get antsy because you're like, I should be going somewhere. I should be doing something. So I'm just like, I'm bored with this. I'm ready to be in the playoffs.
Oh, man. All right. Things also getting heated late in Minnesota. The Rockets guard, Gerald Green, was ejected for starting an altercation after teammate Chris Paul was fouled by the T-Wolves' Gorgie Jen. CP3 saying that he will pay for any fines that result from the green shove. Houston won their fifth straight, 129-120.
That's a good teammate. No, real talk. That's a good teammate. Somebody's got your back. You pay for that fine for him. You let him know that you got them the same way they got you. Mark Cuban had told me once when I was in Dallas, it was 02, 03. I was like the instigator. I started half the games like because they needed a little bit of like just – like nasty, like I didn't score any points. I just defended, and he was like, "Any tech you get, I fought." Like I got into a big altercation with Ron Artest, and we were like, "It's all kind of stuff." He was like, "Yo, whatever tech you get, I got him," and I was like, "Yes, we got action." It just freed me up to do what I wanted to do. So that's pretty cool. I like Chris Paul. Good gesture, man.
How many did you get?
I don't know. I was still young, so I wasn't really showing my entire like repertoire of craziness. Like I needed to get paid.
All right, well, nobody can beat the Blazers, at least in the last 13 tries. Portland extends their streak with a 122-109 victory over the Clippers, backed by 23 from Dame Lillard and a Yusuf Nurkic triple-double. The next one will be the toughest one, a matchup with the Rockets looming on Tuesday.
Ooh, getting hot at the right time. I think that game Tuesday is going to say a lot. I think it's going to be a statement game for both teams. It'll be one of those type of late season games where I just said I was bored, where people will snap out of the boredom. The Blazers are a team that's not bored. The Rockets are a team still playing for something. That'll be a good game. I'm going to tune into that. When you say it was Tuesday night, clear my schedule.
Tuesday. Neymar, one of the top soccer stars in the world, wants to be compensated like he's the very best and then some. Reports out that the 26-year-old Brazilian wants $1.39 million per week from PSG, which is good for $72.28 million a year. Totally deserving, right, Danny?
Man, soccer is the world sport. These dudes,
he
most
should be
underrated, overpaid guys out there.
Like, yes.
They get so much money, but more power to them. I'll never knock them. Hey, go get your payday.
Ndamukong Suh, probably the best free agent left on the NFL free agent market, but it doesn't appear that he's super close to selecting a side. He visited the Titans and the Saints over the weekend. The Rams have a meeting scheduled, while the Seahawks could get one soon.
My man is out there on private jets taking the free agent tour for all it's worth. He's shopping around. Good for him. I would just be cautious how much guaranteed money you gave him. I thought you saw a guy who got paid by the Dolphins and shut it down after
really?
That. Yes. My man was out there giving up loafing on plays.
Nah, bro.
He used to be so much nastier when he was in Detroit and he didn't have all that guaranteed
so
money.
So you don't think he had a good season last year?
No. It's garbage. Ugh. I need a better teammate. And he's dirty. He's always kicking dudes.
That I will agree with, but I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah, exactly. So that wasn't the only NFL news because there was people were describing this as a blockbuster trade. I kind of felt that was overplayed a little bit. They only moved up from 6 to the 3rd pick, and that's the New York Jets. I think the biggest thing that people are trying to figure out is what does it mean?
Right.
I don't know that either because here's the thing. If you moved up to 3, there's a very good chance if you have your eyes set on somebody, whether it's Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Saquon Barkley, whoever that player is, that you might lose out on him because there are 2 picks ahead of you. So it seems really risky and probably stupid to go up there with no guarantee that you're going to get your guy.
I didn't necessarily get it either. I mean, I guess if you're saying we want one of the, what is it, 3 or 4 quarterbacks that are...
There's a ton.
Let's say the cream of the crop is 4 of them, right?
Yeah, there are 4 Baker, that have said... Yep, Josh Allen,
the 2 kids from Southern California.
Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold.
If you're just saying I'm cool with any of the four, then I guess it makes sense, right? Because you're guaranteed to get one of them at that spot, which you wouldn't have otherwise been at six.
You wouldn't have been guaranteed, but I still think Cleveland had two of those picks, so you still could have gotten one of the four. So I think they have, what I think is that they have it whittled down to two, and they're assuming, and this is an assumption, that one of those two guys isn't picked at one, both of them now aren't picked in front of them, which is probably a safe assumption.
Even with the Browns with four, like if everybody else went quarterback, if the Browns went quarterback and everybody else at two, three, and five,
the Colts wouldn't have gone quarterback at three.
No, I don't think so either. Because they have Andrew Luck. And
I'm simply saying, if you're not a guarantee, right? Like, that's not a guarantee, right? Is it?
They would have had their fourth choice if they stayed at the sixth pick.
Right.
They would have had the fourth.
There wouldn't have been four quarterbacks in the top five. There would have been three in the top five.
Right. Okay. So they still could have had a guy. But that's why I think they whittled it down to two. But again, if you're going to make that type of move, you should be guaranteed one.
You should get your guy.
Which tells me either they're not done moving, like they either move up to that number one or try to do something to get up to two. But I don't know what's left to do, because they're already giving away a boatload of stuff, of picks to move to this spot. It didn't make much sense to me. And they're still, I don't know, they brought in Teddy Bridgewater, they're bringing back McCown. Like, I think this team has a lot of issues they have to resolve, and I don't think this solves any of them. All right, you talked about it being a slow, boring time with the NBA, and it does feel like that. It's sort of the doldrums of the NBA, when it just feels like they're just like, get us the playoffs. Like, just get us there. You do see some kind of teams jockeying for seed positions, but it's not very compelling to me. I don't know. You sound like it isn't to you. What is but there is some news out of Golden State.
Yep.
We've done the Cavs worry meter, where it was off the charts before they blew up the team, and then you were back on the bandwagon with the Cavs. What about the Warriors? Scale of 1 to 10, how much concern should there be about this team getting to the NBA Finals? I'm not going to say winning it all. I'm going to say just getting there, because they have a slew of injuries that are starting to mount up. Steph Curry's ankle is always an issue. It's cropped up again. Klay Thompson has a thumb issue that's out for the next three games. And the latest is Kevin Durant out at least 2 weeks with a rib injury.
Yeah, because the scale of worry because of injury should be at like a two. Because I don't imagine that any of these injuries are major, like, significant injuries. The Steph Curry ankle, I think they've shut him down for enough time to make sure that he comes back 100%. Klay, that fracture couldn't be that bad if they're only talking about the time that they've got him missing. And the ribs could be tricky, because, like, I had separated ribs a time or two, and they're really painful. Like, you're breathing and laughing and just general, like, that can be really painful. But there's enough time where those guys get healthy. I don't think they're the type of team that needs a whole lot of time to, like, find their chemistry. They play together too much. They play a freewheeling style. That's going to be fine. They should just generally be worried that they don't make the finals, because Houston's there, because Portland's playing great, because there's some hurdles that you got to clear in that Western Conference playoffs that are significant. But the injuries, I don't put a lot of stock in them hampering them getting to the finals.
Speaking of the Houston Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni, we had his brother on, Dan D'Antoni. Shout out to him, because he was a great guest on our show.
Boss.
And he pulled off the upset in round one. Unfortunately, I was pulling for him hard against West Virginia. West Virginia was just too much for them, but he was a lot of fun to talk to, especially his story about our boy Rajah saying, nobody punks Rajah Bell. Nobody punks Rajah Bell. That's my favorite story yet on the podcast. But there was also a coach that was making some waves with some of his comments. It was Stephen F. Austin's coach, who they got bounced in round one, and he blamed millennials on the. So here's what he said after the game.
Get in line.
Yeah. Millennials don't even watch college basketball, Keller said after the Lumberjacks 70-60 loss to Texas Tech. A lot of our guys didn't even know who those cats were on Texas Tech's roster, because they don't watch the game. They're on their phone and they're doing that kind of stuff. All right, so he caught a lot of backlash on Twitter, so he tried to clarify the remarks. He said, I use millennials as an example of how life has changed since I was raised. Our players knew the scouting report inside and out. They knew Texas Tech's personnel. But what I was saying is that during the season, kids aren't watching games like they used to. They're on their phones now. I'm not mad at my players. I don't blame them. So our boy Kyle Keller, head coach Stephen L. Austin, sounds like he totally did a 180 because of the backlash.
Well, what kind of backlash? Like, what's he getting backlash for?
No, like, people were giving him a hard time, saying, well, why are you blaming millennials? Like, how about do your job as a coach? Like, he was just catching some heat for the comments. But I think he's spot on.
Like, oh, I think spot on. Like, get over yourself. Like, you Like, there. Look, man, there's a whole generation of kids that's raised completely different than the way we were raised. And ain't all of it great. I'm going to tell you right now, I deal with high school kids on a daily. Some of these cats are some poopy attitude kids, man. Like, real talk. And he's not lying in what he's saying. Like, my kids, my own children, will be at the house, like, hanging out on a Friday night. And I had a couple of the kids on my fifth grade team over, you know, this weekend because we had early games and they were going to go to the game with us in the morning. And we're watching NCAA games. At least I am, while we're eating pizza. My wife's watching. And I'm like, hey, man, did you guys see that play? And I look over and they're all playing Fortnite or something or watching a video on their iPhone or their tab, whatever the hell they have. And so that's a fact. I don't know that I read him blaming social media and millennials for the lost or all these gadgets and electronics, but it is a fact that they don't watch. My kids don't watch NBA games. They'll sit there with me to watch the game, and I'll look over and I'll be like, you didn't even see that damn play, did you? Oh no, I saw it. I'm like, you didn't see it. And I'll rewind it. You know what I mean? Like, they're not watching. They've got all of this stuff at their fingertips.
Do your kids do what mine do? And as soon as the commercials come on, they watch the commercials more than the game. That drives me nuts with mine because they don't, they're 10, 9, and like, they're more entertained by the commercials than they are by the game. But here's what I think about Kyle Keller's comments. I think he's right, but I don't think it's exclusive to millennials. I think it's our society now has less of an attention span than we ever have. Like, we are geared towards short, quick, pleasing, like gratifying. It's got to be, you got to get it right away. Look, and I think back to where, you know, I hate going back to when I played, but I used to go back out and shoot baskets for 2 hours.
Sure.
Or I would go out and hit baseballs for 2 hours. Yeah. Now, even now, like, I'll try to get better at golf. I'll go out and hit balls for 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, let me see what's on Twitter. Let me go see if anybody's hit me up, trolling me on the SEC stuff. Like, it's
accessibility.
Just, you know, yeah, probably.
Yeah, accessibility.
You know, like, I think it's the biggest challenge that coaches have now.
I will agree with you on that. Like, because even myself, like, I was you, and I try to I tell my kids and stuff all the time, like, listen, like, You got to be self-motivated to go out there and do that. Like, and I said it 2 days ago. Like, I used to be out at the park. I'd be in the middle of the street. Like, they're not wired like that anymore. And I'm not either, to your point. Like, I am much more, you know, connected to a device than I've ever been myself. But I will still, having dealt with kids at that age, where I coached and coaching some of these other schools when their kids come to these all-star games and stuff like that, the kids are wired different. Like, maybe it's the voice that some of these social media platforms provide. They're just wired different. The respect for authority isn't there. Like, it is a different generation. And people probably said that about us. Like, older generations said it about our generation.
Right.
But it's a fact. Like, these kids are wired way different.
I think that's a really good point that you hit on, because I can imagine my parents or my coaches saying, oh, these kids watch too much TV.
Right.
Like now it's too much social media.
Yeah. Right.
At one time, it was too much talking on the phone.
Yeah, too much radio at one point.
Exactly. Like, there's always something.
Too much
radio. I will say, my biggest pet peeve in the whole world is when I'm trying to watch a movie with a friend and they're on their phone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, watch the freaking movie. Right. Like, I can't. It's just so, like, I'm watching, just go away. Like,
yeah,
go home.
Just leave. I'd rather just watch
but myself. But great coaches find a way to still motivate, to overcome some of those challenges and still get the most out of their players, for sure. All right. Major League Baseball. Let's do some talking baseball with Rajah Bell. A little bit of a controversy is Aaron Judge was, I don't even know if this is caught, but MLB was not happy because he was, quote, recruiting Manny Machado to join him on the Yankees. I think this is the dumbest story in sports that we saw last week. They all do it. Like,
did this with Giancarlo Stanton.
Absolutely.
And it proved to work.
But I'm totally okay with it, though. Like, you're always going to recruit your boys to play with you. Absolutely. Like, there's nothing that Major League Baseball or the NBA or anybody would be able to do to stop it, because they can find them, they can try to do things, but it's always going to occur.
You can't, like, if a general manager or the president of a club or the owner is going after Manny Machado, and that's something that you might be able to police. But friend to friend, like colleague to colleague, boy to boy, over some drinks or in a text that I sent to you, or like, get over, like, there's nothing you can do about that. The control, I get it, you don't love it, but it's happening, and it's happening across all sports, and it's the lay of the land.
Like, I think it's just funny that it becomes public, because, you know, at all-star games, at off-season workouts, at parties, at the like, wherever they are, these guys get to know each other more so now than ever because they are connected. Of course they're going to say, come join me. Like, it'd be a blast.
Steve Nash and I, when I was in Utah, Steve was my buddy from Dallas, and we stayed in touch. We were always friends and whatever. And halfway through my last season in Utah, we were talking all the time about how fun it would be, like, if I was – wasn't recruiting me there, but this was just two friends talking about, you know, a situation that would be cool to play in. And it just, you can't police that. So to concern yourself with it feels like you're causing more stress than you actually need.
No doubt about it. All right, let's get to some topics. What do you got for us today,
Debo? Topics.
So, UMBC, the darlings of the tournament, located in Baltimore. We know that now, Danny. Under Armour, also in Baltimore. Steph Curry is Under Armour's biggest athlete. The dots are connected. Steph giving the Retrievers the limited release Curry 5s, and it's not going to be the only love they get, but a good gift?
Yeah, a solid gift. They were right. I mean, I got more John Blaze than that.
How did they look?
They were... All right. I like Steph's new kick. I didn't love these all black ones. They were all right.
See, I don't like the ones that he had that were all white that he got skewered for. This was like 2 years ago.
Shoes?
Yeah, the nursing shoes that were awful. Like, I like to see a little bit more like color and stuff, like contrast. Like, if they're all black, I like to see a little bit of silver, a little bit of something in there. Like something to pull out something from the team uniform. So that's why I don't like all black or all white unless it's in cars.
I saw them like, I thought they were all black. They may have had some silver.
They got a little bit on the bottom.
Yeah, but I thought, you got it up?
Yeah. See those there? They're not bad.
Yeah, they're not needle movers.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
but I like.
Exactly. They don't do nothing.
I like what Under Armour did with Steph's shoe, though. Like, they took it from like a clunky profile and more of a, like a nursing orthopedic shoe. And this new model is pretty sleek. Like, my kids like it. It's got a good look. They make it in a low top. I'm not mad at it. Good for UMBC.
Get them for free.
Yeah.
Can't hurt. So when he's not constructing DMs that are accidentally sent out as tweets, Ray Allen out here writing books. This one going to be called From the Outside, My Journey Through Life and the Game I Love will be released on March 27th. And it's already catching former teammate Rajon Rondo's attention. Rondo saying, obviously, that man is hurting. He wants to stay relevant. Does this Celtics beef from the late 2000s, early 2010s still intrigue you?
It intrigues me because I played against a lot of those guys, so it's interesting. Ray, nah, you be careful, bro. I'm just saying, like.
Does Rondo have a point?
Here's the deal. About
Ray?
Possibly. Yeah, I mean, Rondo, what are you trying to get me to say?
I'm trying to get it out of you.
You trying to get it out of me? No, but I, you know, when I played, I would say to like people who know me, like close, I'd be like, man, you know, if I wrote a book about all the stuff I've seen and all the stuff, man, I like it would be incredible. But I would never betray like the confidence of the teams I played on and my teammates and just stuff that is said and done in locker rooms. That's your family. Like, you don't take that. And that's an unwritten rule in sports. Like, you don't do that. And not in any bad way, but even, you know, just a friendly story you might share with me, it's not mine to take and tell to anyone else. And so I don't like guys writing books and putting people's business in the streets. I don't like that. And
it'll
sounds like
books.
Other people don't like it.
Right. But I think they have a point, too. I think there totally is something. There are some stories that should be off limits. But some guys will do that to sell books, to stay relevant. Like, I think Rondo does have a point.
Rondo does have a point. Because Ray doesn't need no bread. Like, he doesn't need any money. He doesn't need, like, you're doing that to stay relevant. So, yeah, Rondo has a point. Ray, look. You ain't built like some of these cats, bro. You watch your back out in them streets if you're throwing people under the bus.
Who knows what happened with that catfish situation, though? Maybe he does need some little bit of bread.
Oh, bro. Why are you? Ray's a great golfer. Ray, look, Ray's in a group that I used to play in down here. I don't really have any beef with Ray. I don't. All I'm saying is, like, that the feuding at this point, it's like, it's kind of childish. It seems like that it's like beneath them, right? Like, let it go.
But they won't let it go. It's almost like they like the drama, all of them.
They
love talking trash back and forth.
Raja was doing the segue there for me. Talking golf now. Rory McIlroy won on Saturday. Who knows how he enjoyed that victory. On Saturday, Rory thinking and talking about how some fans enjoy golf tournaments. Quote, I think that they need to limit alcohol sales on the course. Beer, he said, was acceptable. Liquor, nah. Tiger saying, as long as they don't yell on our golf swings, everything's cool.
Wait, Rory said beer was acceptable, liquor nah?
Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Just so we're clear, Rory.
Exactly.
All right, good.
McIlroy, the guy that needs
Rory McIlroy.
Is he the one that needs a drink?
Yes. These dudes need to lighten up. Golf needs more attention. They need more fans. They need to grow the game.
Of course.
And the tight, old, like club stuffy view of God. What made it him, needs to change.
Yeah. What made him say this though is he said that there was someone who kept yelling his wife's name.
So yeah, what? Apparently they were exactly like this.
I know. How many, I kind of agree. So what? Like, who cares? Look, this, how does like does this happen in basketball
Hannah,
games all the time?
Oh my
like,
gosh!
Golfers are so and I you know I love golf, yeah. But they are the most they are the most like snobby and it speaks to what you're talking about like. How dare you call my wife's name when you, how dare you call for my ball to go in the bunker? I'm going to have you removed. Like, get over yourself,
yeah,
bro.
Also,
this is
why
JT
would,
impersonation.
Why
Lord forbid he call for my ball to go in the bunker.
Yeah, but why would like, be, I mean, beer wouldn't stop that.
No,
right?
Exactly. No.
Like, go to a Bills game. Beer is the worst. Like, I
feel like alcohol is what would get you to a golf course.
Yeah, no, alcohol is the only thing that would make me go.
Yeah, and like, really enjoy myself. In all seriousness, like, I get what Tiger's saying. And it's a, it, in a backswing, unacceptable, 100%. Yeah. Don't do that. But, like in general, once that ball's in the air, like, you shouldn't be concerning yourself with what someone says. Your job is to play. Like quarterbacks... receive like any other major sport, team sport, even like you take what you get. You're making millions of dollars to do the job. Go out there and play. There are going to be people that boo. There are going to be people that cheer. It's what happens. Just don't do it. I mean, other sports have to. I get yelled at in the middle of my free throw stroke.
Right.
Like, what does it matter to me? I block that out.
Right.
Our final topic Rory. Of the day.
I like Rory.
Now it's going to get worse. But that's what happens. Like when I was at a when I was playing, used to have the officials meeting before games.
Yeah.
And the official would come up to me, and they'd always kind of like, hey, because you could ask, as the quarterback, and you're playing on the road, there was a rule in the NFL that if the crowd was too loud, you could turn to the official and tell him you couldn't hear, and the official would like pause for a minute to make the quiet down. And the official always told me this. I'm like, why would I do that? That's only going to make them louder the rest of the game. This is only going to make life harder for Rory McIlroy moving forward. Remember when Sergio Garcia was playing in New York? And he tried to, and he said something about New York fans because they were counting his waggles, which was epic. That was a great troll job, by the way. It only makes it worse. You want to get the fans closer to you. You don't want to try them in the media. That's a bad look.
Yeah.
Danny, defend this one. Alabama beat UCF in the women's NIT. Bama AD comes out and says, he tweets this. We're not ready to make it more than it was and schedule a Disney parade, but we'll definitely take it. Some shade there. Your boy Danny White responds.
Whoa.
Your opportunity to respond.
This is weak sauce, but I can't do it. I'm trying to be better. I don't want to I'm getting pinned in this corner where I'm Mr. Anti-SEC guy trolling Alabama. Congrats to Alabama on their women's NIT win.
Wow.
That says it all.
That does say
I'm just leaving it alone.
You said it by not saying it. Danny featured in a article this weekend about his SEC hate.
There you
so
go.
Wrong.
Shout
so
out
wrong.
To, we're not going to say the paper.
No, exactly. All right, what else we got? Is that it? All right, I have one last thing I want to finish on. Because Shea Serrano from The
cup.
Ringer. From The Ringer. No, I got my Florida
That's
State Seminole cup today. You know you were trending on Twitter yesterday?
For
I don't
what?
Know if it was officially trending, but you were the buzz.
Oh,
a guy who's very popular on Twitter. So a couple things were going around. There was a guy on Twitter. I had a question for this because this is a serious question. A guy said on Twitter to this Shea Serrano, who writes for The Ringer, said, I met my arch nemesis Raja at the movie theater last year. It took all my willpower to not get him back for this. And there's a picture of you clotheslining Kobe Bell. Kobe Bryant. Has anybody ever tried you seriously, like, and gotten mad at you since then?
You were just minding your business at the movie theater, and this guy wanted to just...
That's
the best thing.
That would have been hilarious if I got, like,
there was a response
in the movie theater.
That said, if Kobe wasn't going to try Raja Bell after that, then you definitely weren't going to at the movie theater.
But has anybody ever tried you?
In L.A., yeah. They're in L.A. I mean, there were a couple times we'd be out
in... Like words?
Words. Like, nobody... There's security a lot. I mean, you know, typically the people who really would want a problem, like, I wouldn't be crossing paths with them because I ain't going to find them. The dudes walking around where I'm in Rodeo, where the hotel is, they don't really want a problem. They just want to yell at me from their car. But there was one time that I was walking back. We were in Santa Monica, and there was a dude waiting outside the hotel, and I was coming back from like a diner up the street or something like that. And he started throwing gang signs. And I don't know nothing about gangs. Like, I wasn't, like, he started throwing sets at me. And I was like, oh, snap. All right, we got it. So, I mean, and he knew he called my name. And when I look back, like, he was standing over there, like, what? I was like, okay, let's get back up to the room.
Right. It's time to go the other way.
Time to go up to the room. We're good.
There's definitely, because I think most fans like to talk trash and like to give you a hard time.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they're throwing gang
signs, it's time to get out of here.
Time to turn the other way. There was a great response from Shay, too. He said, you were given an award. It was, you're a first ballot. Does not give a bleep about your feelings, Hall of Famer.
I think
you're also on the podcast. You're the same way. You don't give a bleep about anybody. So I
have to do a couple bleeps today.
You will be busy. All right. That's it for us for this Monday edition of Kinnell and Bell. Thanks for checking us out. Hope you guys have a fantastic week. We'll be back on Wednesday. Get a little Sweet 16 preview. Make sure you go check us out on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, download, leave us that 5-star review. In the review, ask us a question about anything you want. We'll answer them every Friday in our 5-star Q&A. And as always, follow us on Twitter @Kinnell and Bell. We had a big bump in followers. Debo's been getting after it. And we're on Instagram as well.